coming for you, buddy.
Listen up. The views and opinions of this radio show and podcast are prepared and provided by Philip D. Blackman in his personal capacity. The opinions expressed in this show are my own, and they do not reflect the view of this radio station, broadcasting platform, or any organization Philip D. Blackman is a member of. The material and information presented in this broadcast is for general information purposes only. Any and all media presented are the property of their respective owners, and its use does not imply endorsement or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service. Let's get started.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, hello, hello, hello. Hi, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Philip D. Blackman Show. I'm your host, Philip D. Blackman, and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, this episode tonight, it's a two-way. If you can't tell by the entrance music I have going, you know, come on and ride the train. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about, once again, we're doing a follow-up show from episode number 275 when I said that the title of that show was The Ace Train Show, Stolen Valor, right? Well, there have been some new developments, and, you know, for journalistic integrity, we're doing this show tonight to make sure that we go ahead and present the new information out there because, you know, we want to make sure that we're doing it right. So in the land where there seems to be a shortage of self-responsibility and self-accountability, I think tonight is a perfect night to share with you this brick that fits perfectly into this wall of BS that that we have a certain special someone who's created for himself. I mean, the only purpose of this show tonight is to discuss the mental health aspects of and self-responsibility and self-accountability for that. And since there is, again, an update to the H Train's story since we last reported back in August, so in an effort to be transparent and honest, I'm going to once again present the new known facts. Really, it isn't new if you've been paying attention, but the new known facts that have been presented that come out this weekend, and then after that, I'm done. I'm done with all of it because, quite frankly, I'm not in the business of promoting promoting someone who isn't worth the time. But again, journalistic integrity, we got to make sure that we do put this out the right way. So let's see what new developments have been presented here, and we're going to try to also learn at the same time. So first thing I want you to learn, ladies and gentlemen, is we are live right now where I know we got a very special sack of shit watching our show, recording it, man. Hey, by the way, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for recording my show. Send this out to everyone because we want to make sure that we are getting the right information out there. So right here on Facebook at The Philip D. Blackman Show, as well as over on YouTube and LinkedIn at The Philip D. Blackman Show. And Laura Harlow, yes, again, this is a follow-up episode that we're going to be covering, but we'll get to it. Also, we're live on Twitter and Twitch at The PDB Show. So, guys, if you want to leave a comment or you want to participate in the show, social media is your great options. That way, when you put them up there, we can actually put your comment up here and we can address. Now, you can participate in social media or you can call or text the show at any time on the number of my screen, 409-245-9753. Is the number again for my listeners all across the world wide web. Listen to all of our radio stations, guys. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Episode number 303, self-accountability, self-responsibility, and the H train wreck update. So for my first time listeners, we got to make sure that we do it as we always do it. we're dedicating the opening segment of each show, and we call it End of Watch. Now, this is our way of honoring true heroes, our fallen men and women in the law enforcement community. Last year, 2021, we had 650 officers die in the line of duty. And as of this show, we've lost about 195. And we get that information from the Officer Down Memorial page, ODMP. Go give it a check out. Look at the names. Read the stories. Read the faces, man. We have a lot of heroes that are dying just every day. And we got to make sure that we do what we can to honor them, their department, their coworkers, and their family. If you go to that website, ODMP, you'll see a quote in there from, I guess, the creator. He said that when a police officer is killed, it's not just an agency that loses an officer, it's an entire nation. We agree. We all mourn. And we honor all of our officers who serve, except on our show, we're specifically highlighting those who have given their life and service to their community and their country, highlighting a different officer every week, beginning with our Monday show. This week, friends, we're going to be honoring Niagara Falls, New York Police Detective Christina Zell in this opening segment, End of Watch.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Detective Christina Marie Zell, 47, of the Niagara Falls Police Department in New York, who died on November 7, 2022, from complications as a result of contracting COVID-19 in the line of duty. Detective Zell served her department with honor for 22 years in the Criminal Investigation Division. Her brother Jay said of his sister, "My sister has always been my hero. I always knew she was a badass, but the stories I've heard from friends and colleagues about the things she's done have just been incredible. She was always the first one to show up and do things for people. She's the most incredible person I've ever known." Detective Zell is survived by her parents and two brothers. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Detective Zell. Niagara Falls, New York Detective Christina Marie Zell. End of Watch, November 7th, 2022. Rest in peace, ma'am.
Dear mainland, aloha. Now we know you guys love Friday. You even thank the creator for it, TGIF. But why leave out Thursday? Maybe you call Thursday Little Friday and be thankful for it too.
Happy Little Friday.
It's Monday, brother.
Happy Teeny Tiny Friday.
One life, right?
Mahalo. Longboard Island Lager and Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing.
All right, guys, before you hit that record button, we're going to take care of this show first. I'll let you know when it's time to record. you know, just it's part of the deal. And if you haven't been following my social media feed, man, I'm telling you, we've got trolls everywhere, and we understand it because what we do is not popular, especially by doing everything we can to call out the turds that do exist in this society. But you know, there's a man named August Wilson. He once stated that you're responsible for the world that you live in. It's not the government's responsibility. It's not your school. It's not your social clubs or your churches or your neighbors or your fellow citizens. It's yours, utterly and singularly yours. But then on the other side of it, for responsibility, Ambrose Bierce, out of the Devil's Dictionary, 1911, I think, he actually wrote on responsibility. He said it's a detachable burden that's easily shifted to the shoulders of God and fate and fortune, luck, or somebody's neighbor. In the days of astrology, it was customary to unload it upon a star. What they're saying is it is impossible for a lot of people to accept blame, to accept accountability, for accept responsibility for their behaviors and their actions. And I guess it kind of brought up a good question, you know, how many adults really do you know? I mean, really, what isn't exactly an adult when we have a society where we really can't seem to muster the definition of basic things like man and woman? I guess the question we should also ask is, what is an adult? Now, look, I know how it sounds, you know, my lighthearted, my serious response, I guess, when asked about adults is, you know, don't let the big bodies fool you. Yet Tammy says it very well when she says that we're talking about toddlers posing as adults. And, you know, adults, they're really neither as common as you might naively assume or not as rare as you might reasonably expect. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're aren't all that many out there. And, you know, really, what do I know, right? I mean, if you look in Webster's New World Dictionary, you know, the third college edition, you're going to find adult is defined as a grown-up, mature in size and age and strength, etc. And then you look up the word mature in the same book and you'll see the same source is going to be a fully developed as a person and mind, etc. Which kind of makes it seem pretty singular, circular, doesn't it? I mean, does anyone really know what's being described? I mean, what are we talking about? And I think we change these definitions to meet a social norm, which really, truly, social justice, social norms, they're all fallacies anyway. But it's always easy to come across this slew of quotes of motivation that ennoble children and really ridicule adults. And it's all just this so-called the grown-ups who are being envious and learning and yearning, I should say, for the joyful, the carefree playfulness of youth and employing really the self-depreciatory humor that's cheaply aimed at adults' mundane responsibilities and muted effect, right? But I want you to consider another view, like the above quote, you know, by Beers, right? Which skewers adults as chronically blaming other people and just calling it a day. It kind of seems the society we're living in, instead of really owning the total responsibility for their actions and their own lives. I mean, just look at what actual adults do. I mean, adults usually do engage in gainful employment on a regular basis. They take care of their self, their partner, their family, their extended family care, of course. You know, adults are answerable for their life obligations, including employment and paying their bills and doing house chores, upkeep, as well as really being good on their word. When you're born into this life, you get two things that are given to you, and it's only you can destroy them. One is your good family name, and the other one is your good word. Both of those are in your power to destroy. And once you break it, once you fracture them, man, they're very hard to ever get back, especially in the world of trust. You know, adults, as we recognize, you know, they're held responsible for what they sign up to do in both their public and their private lives, such as what they say, what they write, what they promise, and what they do and don't do. You know, adults are held accountable for their actions, for their commitments in life, whether that's a relationship, a marriage, a friendship, a business environment, a work environment, you know, meeting with both the letter and the spirit of their job description. And of course, they're also accountable in their community, being a worthwhile citizen in regard to keeping their houses and their yards kept, being informed of community issues and the welfare, in addition to political candidates and public issues, and regularly participating in the voting process. There's a lot that comes in. But when you watch what adults do, this does have a tiny ring of maturity in being a fully developed person, right? I mean, actually being an adult in all these ways it's a rather high watermark that, you know, to meet for almost all of us, but some don't even try. So you might ask yourself, you know, what's so hard about being an adult after all? Having integrity. Well, to state the obvious, it isn't just one little bit easy at all. You know, and hardly getting any easier with the modern times and the Western world bringing in the terms of diversions and distractions and entertainments and multiple devices, gaming platforms, games, internet, speed of life, government regulation, dealing with the bureaucracies and the stupidities, and the exponentially increasing stuff of life to somehow fit in the same 24 hours a day, 160 hours a week, just like everyone else. Who has the time? Who has the passionate fire in their belly to stand against all criticism, to stand up and fight for what you know is right and what you believe in your heart? I mean, is it all to run faster away from that ego's mind, the saber-rattling fears, ultimately of death, nothingness, annihilation? Or is it all really just to run faster toward the ego's minds, dreamed-up selfish gratifications like we have been reporting on this show, greedy attachments that wants media manipulated into their supposed needs? I mean, it's kind of like being caught up in a vice, you know, a stranglehold somewhere between a rock and a hard place, all orchestrated and all choreographed courtesy of one imaginary self or an ego mind. You know, it's proposed that self-responsibility and self-accountability, man, that's the quintessential defining attribute to identify as a quality to be an adult. You know, the word responsibility really literally means responsibility. That means possessing the ability to respond. So self-responsibility means to not only have the ability to respond, decide, and choose, but to further participate in and engaged in most practical possible fashion in taking responsibility for your life and your decisions. See, the attribute being of being responsible for yourself is that once having the capacity, the willingness to actually enacting in the behavior, and that's called the praxis sometimes, right? Of living the moment to moment. You know, self-responsibility can be seen, you know, in taking care of doing what you said you would do, what you said you would promise and you signed up to do without any ifs, buts, blaming others, rationalizations, reasons, or even some sniveling ass excuses to not do what there is to do. So as long as there's some way within the parameters of reality to honorably do it. I mean, this character trait of self-responsibility is synonymous with self-accountability, which is the other part of this show. You know, like a fashion, accountability literally means accountability, owning the ability to account for your life. To be self-accountable means you got to be answerable for the obligations and the duties that you have in your life by the very nature of being a live human being in the web of life called planet Earth. Anyone who's self-accountable, they answer fundamentally to him or herself in honoring a code of the living. Ethics and integrity that goes into a depth of who every one of us really is on the highest, deepest, and broadest levels, and ultimately on the indwelling in the transient divine realm that we live in. And it's actually pretty simple. I mean, and clearly it's not an easy mark to ever approach, more or less fully inhabit this vision, but we can. I mean, while this vision is at the very top of the top for us, what are the critical building blocks that can create a solid foundation to enable and empower anybody to inhabit the self-responsibility and the self-accountability? Well, we're going to cover that tonight. You know, I figured out, you know, as you know, through research and paying attention that, you know, there are several keys to get in gear and to count on yourself as your own authority in your life. The first one, I think, is going to have to be present. You got to be present. Experience the living in the present moment, because that's what it is. Only by showing up in this right here and right now moment, it can self-responsibility and self-accountability come in line and truly be authentic. But also add the complementary skill of witnessing, that is, the presence of just standing aside and observe who we think we are, or the imaginary or the false sense of the self or the ego to reveal. See through and dissolve its false authority and fear-driven influence. That's being present in the moment. But I think for manhood, for adulthood, honesty, you know, telling the straight-up, nothing-left-out truth in life. There's no such thing as truth by omission. Purely by playing with a full deck of being a stand-up person, it can take anyone, you know, they can have that responsibility and that accountability for their own life. They just have to be honest, not just with themselves, but with everyone. You know, we must be stalwart. We got to exhibit those solid, stable, and disciplined words and actions in everything we do. When anyone's genuinely traversed an extended learning curve, much like the learning trenches of long and hard and smart work, you know, they often, as an apprentice with one of their mentors, right, you learn the long way of doing things before someone shows you the shorthand version. Whatever ability is truly built and owned, they communicate a solid, stable, disciplined, and very aware sense of yourself and having some kind of clear idea about what makes you tick. That's kind of the rub. A lot of people don't really understand what is it that makes them tick. You know, to be congruent, you know, the words and actions, the facial expressions, the body language, the tone of all voice and communication, the same message of clarity. We have to be very deliberate in all of our words, and we have to be very purposeful. You know, when your whole body's, you know, and your being, it sends a singular, undivided message across all levels of expression. What gets transmitted when you're fully in the moment, it is something very greater than the sum of these parts, that it communicates a trust and a confidence that what's seen, what's heard, what's experienced, it's real, it's authentic, it's true. There's no need for deviation, no need to modify the story as it goes along. But to not know, to be open with yourself, to bring that maturity, to fully value not knowing and staying wide open, it translates into being available to all inputs, to all creativity, all possibilities, brainstorming, criticisms, and kudos. Because there's no such thing as this win-win or non-zero-sum game. Being a mature adult, being a mature grown-up, it entails shedding that me, primitive ego attachment to yourself and playing a much bigger game that works for everyone. Literally a win-win or a non-zero-sum game. I mean, here you bring the attitude of no scarcity or anything and of anything, no scarcity of anything at all. And you have a surplus of everything for everyone to meet in life's demands. But part of our growth as adults, part of the self-accountability and self-responsibility is having a rock-solid commitment in action to grow. You know, in my signature block, I talk about a lot. No, it's an uncredited quote, but it says that if you're busy talking about what you did yesterday, you haven't done anything today, which means you're not growing. And I think that's possibly the rarest character trait on the planet for a human being to bring a rock-solid commitment and action to grow. The self-realization that maybe it's time for you to focus on what you're doing and what you're saying, to bring publicly stated your intentions to grow. The time and place that it needs to occur, very specific goals, and the follow-through in these direct actions to completion. You know, the three components of commitment that I've learned in football, when a company on a regular basis it always points to a committed person. It points to self-responsibility. It points to self-accountability. You know, there's no stopping, you know, such a being in any set of circumstances and powerfully harnessing and channeling their energies, their talents, their skills. I mean, they may well be the greatest personality attribute and character trait that you can ever bring to your transformational process of being the better version of you that you deserve and that everyone else deserves to have around you. And it's in that spirit of conversation that we move to, that we're having tonight on self-responsibility and accountability, that we move on to this next segment. And if you're in the business of recording, hit that record button right now, because this is our segment, The Breakdown. Okay, so August 5, 2022, right here's the video on YouTube, and it's August 5th, 2022. It's episode number 275. I called it the H Train Wreck Show, Stolen Valor with a question mark, because I wanted to leave it up to you to determine if this was something that you deemed as stolen valor. Now, a lot of people have reached out, a lot of pros, a lot of cons, and that's okay. That's kind of why we start these discussions, because we want people to be honest. We want the truth to be put out there. Everything that I showed in that episode was backed with evidence. It was backed with not just the words of the man himself, but of the words of his squad leaders. Just looking at the holes and examining really what the reality was that we've been told. If you haven't seen it, it's still up on my channel. Go check it out. Now, in that show, I'll be honest with you, I was pretty hot because of the behavior and the known facts about the subject of that show. His name was Joel Hunt. What started all of this is he had a universal claim that he was the recipient of a Purple Heart. Now, for a lot of veterans who are recipients of a Purple Heart, like myself, it's one of those things, ladies and gentlemen, that we take it very personal when there's the appearance that someone's taking credit for something they just didn't get. You know, the Purple Heart, for those of you that don't know, it's an award that's been given to members of the military. People who've been injured as a result of enemy action. I don't think that's disputable, and that's never been the dispute. In that episode, I laid out the known story at the time. And, of course, it received a lot of visibility and a lot of attention from a lot of people, which was the point of that show. And it wasn't until just before I hit live when I was talking to my wife earlier that the intent of my show was met. Because the argument that I posed was for an organization like the Forgotten Heroes Campaign. You know, well, I'm getting this ahead of myself. So for me as well as for a lot of you guys, you know, who understood the sight picture for what it was. You didn't just take one person's word for it. You actually stepped back and you looked at it from every angle that you possibly could. There was a nonprofit organization called the Forgotten Heroes Campaign, and they rushed to give Joel Hunt their version of a Purple Heart because his mother was dying before the investigation was complete. And with that fake-ass Purple Heart, Joe very easily, very in his mind, was very justified in adding that specific point. He was awarded a Purple Heart from the Forgotten Heroes Campaign to his bio that he was awarded the medal given to troops who had proof that they'd been injured in combat. And that was something that Joel didn't have, not at the time of that recording. Now, in that episode, I used the words of Joel and those of his alleged squad members, his via social media, to present all the known facts at the time. Now, what I want to do at this point is I want to present you with a backstory. I don't want to rehash anything, but to update you on what has transpired in the 3 months since our video. Now, this is the video, because I didn't show it in the initial broadcast in August. This is the initial video that jumped everything off for me, how I got involved because of his own words, which is all we've really ever done and all we'll ever do. This video, he pretty much said that he was a fraud. Now, I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. There is a little bit of an audio issue. There's a mild echo in this clip, but I think you should still be able to pull it out.
Hey, everybody. Sorry to interrupt your week. Something has came up from the past. Something that I've been very, very quiet about. Didn't say anything because I didn't want my mom's last memory to be deteriorated, but here it goes. Ladies and gentlemen, my Purple Heart was awarded to me by Forgotten Heroes. I turned in the packet a long time ago, and it wasn't denied. I had several supporters help me with that packet, sending it in. The only thing that good came out of that packet was my military retirement. My Purple Heart was turned down and denied from DOD because lack of evidence from medical records that were lost in Iraq. Due to this fact, what has affected me my whole life is I can't get life insurance because of the holes in my medical records. Not once did I ever tell anybody that I got my Purple Heart by DOD. I always said Forgotten Heroes. There were many people that were at that ceremony that witnessed me not pinning it on me, but being pinned on by General Villano. Once again, this is a black cloud that has been put on me for a long, long time. I went through multiple blasts, IEDs with 82nd Engineers and 4th ID. There were many people that have been saying that I'm lying about being injured. I can't force you guys to believe me. All I can do is give you the paperwork, the evidence that I turned in to the Purple Heart organization, to DOD. So that's the story. Everything that I've ever done was to help vets and in the name of my battle buddies. I do not know what's going to happen to NBR. I do not know what's going to happen to the H-Train show. It might close out. I don't know. But what I do know is that there are some people that are unhappy. some people think that I'm a liar, which I'm not. You decide. I'm sorry. Before Russia, I took up slots and stuff, like people said. But I was also injured. I was also told plenty of times that I didn't deserve to go on those because I wasn't disabled enough. So, I hate these guys want, but I've always been truthful. And I'm sorry for anybody that I've hurt.
Okay. So that was the video right there that started all this for me. Because like a lot of people we saw in his bio, which we're not going to rehash that again because that's something on its own. But his bio say that he'd received a purple heart. But see, here's the issue, right? So the argument is, in that video that he posted was that there was accusations that he pinned it on himself. That, so his relief as social media post was, hey, I didn't pin it on myself. There were a lot of people there who saw it get pinned on me. Look, that's never been up for debate. Not as far as I'm concerned. It's never been up for debate that Mr. Hunt has been deployed. He has. That is in his military record. It has not been in debate that he served honorably. I mean, minus a couple Article 15s by his own admission. Again, that's not up for debate. The debate is the validity of an award. And, Tammy asked the question, and we'll get it. Tammy says forgotten heroes should be investigated. How many other people received that honor that didn't earn it? And that's kind of the question, and why I'm hoping that we get some answers. Because, look, if Joel fell through the cracks for whatever reason, and of course they blamed it on the dead guy, and which I'll show you that clip here in a minute, but, the question is, if Joel Hunt was able, if they were to give him a Purple Heart without doing an investigation, then how many other veterans still got that same award? Now, Martha Altman, she says, no, it was to help him. It was to help himself. She said that she was at the ceremony. So there it is. We got the cover on Fox 31. We've also got the, we've seen the, that there was a ceremony. General Salviano, from an organization that has no business giving away DOD medals, but that's kind of the question. Tammy hits it, and the award goes to not him. Laura Harlow says that wasn't that general that pinned this on him also considered a fraud? Well, I guess that really depends on who you ask, Laura. Because again, he's a general, right? And, he should know better and all the other types of excuses because it goes back. But the whole reason we're doing this tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is because I take a lot of great pride in my show. I take a lot of great pride in my reporting and stories I present, especially if I'm the one doing the investigation like I did, and it's the spirit of honest journalism, which is what I constantly call for on this show, that the media needs to do a better job. Well, the media that covered this weekend, they didn't do a very good job. Personal accountability, self-responsibility. I do not and I will not issue a retraction on that previous video on this reporting because the information that was presented, it was crafted from all the known facts of the case at the time. Same thing for tonight. To leave a story that's out there on the web with old information and not providing updates, I think it's irresponsible for us, not only as a journalist, but as a man. So here it is. On October the 11th, 2022, Fox 31, and of course this graphic right here, CBS out of Denver, they covered a tragic story of a veteran who's been harassed because of his Purple Heart. That was the headline. Let me see if I can see if we got it here. Yeah, here's your headline right there, where they actually say that a veteran is harassed because of his Purple Heart. And then, of course, looking back here at CBS, the headline here says Colorado veteran was given a Purple Heart without authorization. He struggles with brain injury and he waits for an official decoration. Well, okay. There's a catch. The Forgotten Heroes campaign, they have publicly admitted that they failed to properly do the investigation. And naturally, they blamed it on the dead guy, Brigadier General Salviano, who, you know, all we've heard is, well, Salviano, he's done this and that. Well, this guy apparently is the fall guy for this 501c3, this nonprofit organization, Forgotten Heroes campaign. This is the fall guy, and they're giving him all the credit instead of really truly accepting the blame for themselves. But here's the news article. I want to show it to you in its entirety because it is, I think it's necessary because it is part of the, is part of the narrative. So here it is.
One veteran's real struggle to receive the honor he deserves.
He's a Denver man who served in the war in Iraq. He deals with a traumatic brain injury, and years ago he was awarded a Purple Heart. But it turns out it was given without authorization. Alan Janay has looked into that situation.
Joel Hunt was a combat engineer in Iraq. Over and over, he was exposed to IED blasts. Now, there wasn't a lot of recognition for the severity of those injuries nearly 20 years ago. A local organization later tried to give him some recognition. And that is where things went wrong.
All those veterans.
It was a stirring ceremony, the Forgotten Heroes campaign giving former Army soldier Joel Hunt what they felt was his due.
Our committee were very thorough. We can't afford to make one mistake.
Gathered were veterans, friends, and family. His mother, dying of cancer, was there to pin it on. A retired general was there to honor him.
Give him a break.
9 years in the service, right?
Today, Joel Hunt deals with a traumatic brain injury.
Because of my TBI, like, I want to get everything down pat. It starts kicking in my brain, and I start to remember stuff.
From a time he remembers, then forgets.
I got hit with explosion.
During some of his time in Iraq, Joel served near Baqa. One time, Joel remembers his Humvee getting blown up. Lyle Allen served with him.
There's no doubt in my mind that Joel did sustain some sort of injury, traumatic brain injury during that time because of that shock wave.
Others have backed up Joel's story too. But being a closed head injury, Joel didn't do much about it.
I didn't think it was a big deal. I grabbed Motrin and I grabbed some duct tape and then I headed to the motor pool. And, you know, we were changing out the tire and, you know, the hood.
Only several years after leaving the military was he diagnosed with a brain injury, and it added to his records. Soon after, the organization honored him with the Purple Heart, but without authorization.
You knew it was symbolic at the time?
Right, but they told me that they was going to pursue it, keep pursuing.
Did they do that?
No.
For years after, Joel believed he had a Purple Heart.
Did you hear that?
Until some questioned whether it was
he
legit.
He knew it was illegitimate.
You don't believe it was stolen valor here?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Robert Alvarez is with an organization that helps soldiers deal with military issues.
Is it reasonable that he believed that he had one?
It's absolutely reasonable.
You feel badly about what happened with Joel?
I think it's terrible what happened to him.
Barry Fiore is with the nonprofit Forgotten Heroes campaign that gave Joel the medal.
I will acknowledge on behalf of Forgotten Heroes that they did not do the right job.
Fiore says he wasn't with the organization then, but that they were too quick to hand out the medal.
Bless his heart, Sal Villano.
Blame the dead guy.
General. He died a couple months ago. But I think in those days, he wasn't paper conscious like I am.
He's a general. He knows better.
Joel Hunt was improperly honored.
We take full responsibility for the harm caused.
I've been trying to find the truth, you know? I want to know. I want to know who I am.
For several years, Joel tried to get the proper paperwork into the military, but has made several errors. Now Robert Alvarez is trying to help.
We're going to see it through.
And Joel waits.
This could have been fixed in 2012.
It's been a long time.
Yes.
Forgotten Heroes now says it does more thorough investigation to ensure that it is giving medals appropriately. Joel Hunt, meantime, waits at home, waiting for his request to get processed by the military to find out whether this time he'll get a real Purple Heart. In Denver, I'm Alan Janay, covering Colorado First.
Okay, so the story, very touching, and it's very nice to see that the Forgotten Heroes campaign, they actually came out, and I'm going to tell you why. I have no proof to support this, but I have a speculation, because when I saw that video of Joel that I initially showed, I called the Forgotten Heroes campaign. I emailed them. We spoke several times and I told them what the issue was, and then they just went radio silent. I think the only reason they've come out is because they knew that this show was done in 275, and they knew that a lot of people were talking about it, and they knew they were being investigated. So they had to come out and say, hey, yeah, we screwed up. But I don't know if you caught that blurb that Salviano said. He said that our committee is very thorough. We can't make mistakes. Well, you did make a mistake. You made a very big mistake. And this whole purpose of this news report is to serve as, I don't know, some kind of vindication. Maybe that's why people sat down for an interview. But at the end of the day, that news report, all it did was verify exactly what I said in episode 275. Either Joel Hunt is lying, or the Forgotten Heroes is lying, or both. Now, here we go. The idea is, you know, like, you know, I guess, Tammy, you know, one of the things, I want to know who I am. Well, the thing is, the reality is, I really don't believe that you're ever going to find out who you are, because I think you've lost yourself throughout the whole mix of this. You know, it's almost like you've made your Purple Heart your identity. Maybe. Who knows? Only the man himself can answer that question. You know, he talks about how he wanted to give the evidence. He was willing to show the evidence, but no evidence was ever presented to anyone who had a problem with him and with his story. So, if you feel like your brain is melting so far, if you need to wipe that cheesy ass story off your phone or your computer, or wipe away the tears in your eyes because of the performance art that you just witnessed, I want to see something just a little bit more stimulating. Give me 30 seconds here. I want to take a quick break because I feel like it's like I'm taking crazy pills, because there were some things in there that were said that probably should be revisited. Give me a second. Yeah, I feel like you're taking, how high are you right now? Are you feeling like you're taking crazy pills like I was? Because when I contacted the Forgotten Heroes campaign on May 23rd, I spoke to a guy. His name was Walden Walker. He said he worked for the Forgotten Heroes campaign. He answered their phone and he asked me to email him. And he took my questions and he immediately stopped answering all of my questions because they learned, they figured it out, that someone has finally called them to their half-ass work. They gave a war veteran an award that he did not earn. Now, even today, even though as many people as want to say that I feel like he earned it, it's never based on what you feel. It's not what you think you know. It's not what you know. It's what you can prove. And until that proof has come out, it just doesn't exist. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that is what it is. I mean, you heard from the Forgotten Heroes campaign and a gentleman there, Robert Alvarez, who's working with Joe to help him get his paperwork squared away, that my initial report was correct, because, again, here it is in Joel's own words from that CBS article. He says, quote, "I was proud. You know, he told me, hey, this isn't authorized, but we're still pursuing it. You know, we wanted to give this to you before your mom dies." So he accepted this award knowing that it was not authorized. The Forgotten Heroes campaign issued the award knowing it was not authorized. So how in the world does that 501c3 Forgotten Heroes campaign, how do they even have, or how are they able to keep their doors open if that's how they run business? And I'm going to tell you right now, as far as Robert Alvarez and helping Joel get his paperwork done, I'm going to tell you, I really truly hope that Mr. Alvarez is very successful in helping Joel get his paperwork and get that Purple Heart, because that is his identity. He needs that more than anybody that I've ever seen, just based off that as the conversation. Yeah, I said in my last show that if you give Joel enough time, he's going to use his own words to let that story slip out in a Freudian slip, and right here it is. He told me, hey, this isn't authorized, but we're still pursuing it, you know. We wanted to give this to you before your mom dies. It says it wasn't authorized. He still accepts the award, knowing it wasn't real. So truly, I mean, the Purple Heart that his mother pinned on him was about as real as he is. It doesn't. There is nothing there, and I hate it because that would have been a great moment had it been legitimate, had it been real. That would have been a very magical moment. But here's the thing. If the Forgotten Heroes campaign, if Mr. Alvarez is successful in getting him his paperwork put in, nothing's going to change. You can't erase what has been done because you knew then that it was not a legitimate award. It's right there. Those are your words. That is a quote in this article, and that was also what you said on the video, that it isn't authorized, but I just thought they was going to get it done. Being a good soldier again, following orders. You know, self-responsibility and self-accountability, it would dictate that a man, a soldier, would never accept something that they didn't rate, regardless of the circumstance. Although the Forgotten Heroes campaign, they took the responsibility for dropping the ball, Joel still has yet to accept responsibility for his role in the matter. I mean, he did accept their apology in the most dramatic manner possible, and I'll show you what I'm talking about, but... You know, the thing that bothers me about all of this, what makes this news story even worse, is it paints Joel as a victim for some misunderstanding, even though he remembers them telling him that it was not authorized. So basically, his mother, God rest her soul, should have also presented him with a Congressional Medal of Honor because he didn't rate that either, but... If that was the intent to make Mama proud of his service, then hey, the mission was accomplished because apparently his service alone wasn't enough to be proud of. Now look, that's pure speculation. And there's no way to know what anyone was thinking who was involved in that hot mess. Well, except for Joel, because his identity has been built around a fake Purple Heart.
I've been trying to find the truth, you know? I want to know. I want to know who I am. This could have been fixed in 2012.
It's been a long time.
Yes.
It could have been fixed in 2012, but it wasn't fixed. You know, there's an old saying that I learned in sales a long time ago is fortune is in the follow-up. And I think that's kind of the rub here. Fortune is in the follow-up. And, you know, you got to follow through. You got to follow up with exactly what you say, mean what you say, mean what you do, and then do it. But in both videos that were released this Saturday, that, you know, again, Veterans Day, you know, the first was being from CBS that I showed you. But then Fox 31, and they didn't release it on their website. They just released it on YouTube. Out of Denver, they paint an entirely different picture that, quote, a veteran harassed over Purple Heart. That's the headline. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get your tissues ready, right? Because this is going to pull on every heartstring that you could possibly have. And I think the reason why it's a great emotion string puller, because again, it doesn't tell the whole story. Just one where the Forgotten Heroes campaign admitted they screwed up and Joel accepting their apology, because that's what God would want.
The medal means something to me, but it means more to me helping veterans so they don't struggle like I had to.
U.S. Army veteran Joel Hunt copes with a serious brain injury sustained during his service to his country.
It's been a painful journey.
In 2011, he received this Purple Heart from the Denver nonprofit organization Forgotten Heroes campaign. But 6 months ago, the process the organization used to provide the medals was questioned. Word got out, and Hunt became the target of widespread harassment.
Every veteran, doesn't matter if they deployed or not, they still serve.
Hunt fell into a state of depression, hitting rock bottom.
Let's just say that my new alive date is May 21st. I have no idea why I woke up, but when I woke up, I was shocked.
Veterans advocate Robert Alvarez took up the case. He says this paperwork provides undeniable proof that Hunt deserves the medal.
I have seen many people be awarded a Purple Heart. Joel fits that exact criteria. The I wasn't dotted, the T wasn't crossed, the documentation wasn't done.
The Forgotten Heroes campaign agrees.
I wouldn't be a part of this organization if they gave out medals to people who didn't deserve them. And when he pinned that medal on him, He figured all the documentation was there.
Fiore says Hunt not only deserves the Purple Heart, but also an apology. We shared it with him.
Joel, I would say this. From what I have seen, the documentation that you have, I feel really bad that you have not been able to absolve yourself of this, of these veterans that are accusing you of stolen valor. I feel the Purple Heart is deserved, and I am sorry this happened to you.
I appreciate it, and I forgive them and the veterans that bullied me. I have forgiven them too, because that's what God would want. Before you accuse somebody of something, just be a man about it or a woman about it. Come to them face to face, not with a text, not with a call. Face to face. And just ask for the proof. They never asked that.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the saddest thing ever, I told you. You know, the hard part for me in all the hard part for all of me this is, ladies and gentlemen, is this whole idea. Martha, you hit it right there. Martha says, we've been asking for this proof for years. Y-E-A-R-S, not days, months, but years. Tammy says, this is killing me. I don't believe anyone asked him for his forgiveness. Laura Harlow says in the chat, she says, I'm pretty sure folks did ask for proof, didn't they? Yes, we did, a lot. And Laura goes on to write that he kept putting everyone off, of course, because he hid behind his TBI. But the good news is, ladies and gentlemen, is that, you know what? He forgives us because that is what God would want.
I appreciate it. And I forgive them and the veterans that bullied me. I have forgiven them too, because that's what God would want.
Y'all remember that scene in Austin Powers where Dr. Evil was telling him to take care of Mini-Me? Because that's my boy! That's kind of... Look, maybe I'm fucked up for laughing, but I can't help it because this... You know, here's the thing. I learned when I was a kid, one of those old country sayings that we have down here is, if you make a hard bed, you still got to sleep in it. Yo, but since I'm... You know, and right here, Martha says that I don't want his forgiveness, and I don't think anyone does. Tammy says they did ask. They ask a lot, and he always said, you'll take advantage, was the word she was looking for. You'll take advantage of my TBI. Tammy says that he forgives you so much that he's had people make threats. You know he has, Tammy. And I'm going to get to that. Hang on, Laura, I'll get to your comment here in a second, which brings up, since I'm cleaning out the old closet and providing updates, let's keep going because Joel is doing everything he can to stomp this story into the ground with his little minions out there. I'm talking to you, Mike Pearson. You know, these threats of future lawsuits and defamation and all these big words. I'm almost certain you got auto-corrected every time you type defamation because you don't have the brain power to come and use words like that you have no idea what it is. All right. There's a lot of people right now trying to shut this story down because, you know, these heartstrings, these sad moments, you know, yeah, of course, I no doubt in my mind that his feelings are hurt, but I don't think his feelings are hurt because for any other reason, but because he got caught. Again, that's pure speculation. But the idea is, how long have we run with this story? How long, you know, what, 2011 when I think it was, they said 2011, maybe 2012, when he got his Purple Heart issued by the Forgotten Heroes campaign. That is just about 10 years. You telling me in 10 years you didn't think to go, knowing that this is not a legitimate award, knowing that right up front, there was never a moment where you was like, well, hey, have y'all checked on that paperwork for me? You know, is the paperwork still good? No one, you know. So again, yes, the Forgotten Heroes campaign, they did screw it up. Absolutely. But I will tell you right now, there is no way in hell that what we are being told by Joel Hunt has been the 100% truth. And that is the unfortunate thing about it. It's not true. It took him 10 years for this revelation to come out. And the only reason this revelation came out is because we started calling it out. Because there's no way in hell that a nonprofit organization should be authorized to even pretend like they have the authority to give a Purple Heart that's issued by the Department of Defense. So yes, not only did the Forgotten Heroes campaign screw the pooch, the responsibility also goes on Joel Hunt himself because fortune is in the follow-up. But, you know, not just Mike Pearson, right? Because, you know, he's a scrub. He's a turd. There was this letter that was actually sent to me from a fake lawyer where he sent this threatening letter demanding the removal of any coverage of his video or I would be sued for defamation. Let me see if I can remove this overlay for you, for those of you in the business of reading it. I mean, this letter was addressed to Rob Williams. This was his termination letter. But I was mentioned, and this was also sent to me. So, mind you, in the very top part up there, you see the letterhead, the stamp from the lawyer's office, and then is addressed to Rob Williams. But it was sent to me via email. But it's signed by Cassie Hunt, the behemoth of CEO. I'm guessing. I don't know. I still don't know who that person is. But she lists herself as the owner and CEO. Again, fake lawyer sending threatening letters demanding that I remove my video. You know, again, there's your lawyer's letterhead, and it's addressed to somebody else, signed by his wife, and it's sent to me. I'm like fourth generation, don't give a shit what he's got to say. But I digress. I want to hit, you know what, since we're talking defamation in that letter, you know, and I addressed it then, I'll address it now. In this letter where he talks about the defamation as possible charges for whatever that he's alleging that I'm guilty of. It might be behooving of you, Mike and Joel, but I'm under no illusions to think that Mike is who you are. You're a troll, and right there. All right, so these statutes that's being alleged, you know, it might be behooving of you guys to look up this thing called elements of the crime. And that particular part is what tells you what the accused must do to be found guilty of any alleged crime. So saying that I'm going to be sued for defamation, look it up, Scooter. And since they are in Colorado laws that are applicable to citizens of Colorado, I am not. I didn't broadcast my show from Colorado, so it's not really applicable to me. But just for shits and giggles, let's pretend that I'm even remotely concerned about this fake lawyer letter right here. Let's just pretend for a moment. For it to be slander, as I'm being charged in this letter here, it'd have to be in a spoken form, which checks the block. Yes, this is in spoken form. When one person says something that's untrue, no, because everything I've said has been your words. Your words have told the truth. So if what I'm saying is untrue using your words, then Jack, then I guess you could check that block because what I said was untrue was your words. But the last element it has to be derogatory, and that's legally debatable. But since Joel Hunt is legally considered a public figure, it's a different standard that applies since you have to prove that what I said was untrue and that I actually said it with malice, which, again, legally debatable. There's nothing legal or binding about this letter, and I think it was probably typed out in about 5 minutes because there's nothing that can be enforced in here. It certainly isn't a cease and desist from any lawyer. Just because you put a lawyer's letterhead up there, don't make it real. See, no one with military broadcast radio, when they talk about, well, you're not allowed to talk about anything. Well, hey, here's the thing. Nobody signed a non-disclosure agreement, which would make such a thing enforceable, but I'm sure you guys already knew that. But as far as my content goes, my show is protected under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Just want to help you out here. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of the speech or of the press, or of the right to people peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress and grievances. The part I want to draw your attention to is that freedom of speech, that freedom of press, because this was an investigatory expose. So for anyone to bring up my content regarding, quote, his broadcast and imminent threats to destroy and harm Joel, again, you're reaching, guy. There's zero evidence to support that bogus claim. So refer again to that First Amendment, you know, I promise you, you'll find your answer. My content on this show, it is protected speech. And only I will ever dictate what happens with my content. not Rob Williams, not the fake lawyer that Joel has, not Joel Hunt, not Mike, whatever the crap your stupid ass name is. None of you guys will dictate what I do. And certainly not Cassie Hunt. Again, I don't know who she is, but at the end of the day, they're just proving my point with each and every attempt in trying to convince people that they're the smartest people in the room. All this does is show their shortcomings as human beings. They're trying to save dignity that's already been lost. The fact that these stories and these statements from members who claim to have served with him in a CBS article, it means absolutely nothing in the big picture. None of those people who are medical professionals, and not a single one, and for the record, you know, I've got people too who've also given statements refuting Joel's claim. I mean, right here's, you know, just a few of them. So if you want to talk about people's statements that you know, you believe in these people mean that if we want to follow what your logic is, we have to believe those people. Well, there's two sides to every story, right? So if you want to follow my logic, well, here's you some people too. Well, as a matter of fact, I got even more right there. Bam. So I guess the idea is we both have evidence, don't we? But back to that story on CBS and Fox. Everywhere else you think that you have found vindication. And as a quick reminder for you kids, since Joel's claiming to be a TBI sufferer, even if that's the case, again, that is not up for me to debate. But what is up for me to debate is for a Purple Heart to be given the verbiage, it very clearly states that, quote, concussion injuries caused as a result of enemy-generated explosions. That means IEDs, which there's no doubt that Joel Hunt and a whole lot of other service members were exposed to IEDs if they were outside the wire. That's not in contest. But it means that if his story is true, he rated a Purple Heart only if a medical professional treated him for that injury and the commanders take into consideration the degree in which that enemy caused the injury. But as a refresher, you know what? Before I get to that refresher, I want to get to some of these comments here because we are, man, I'm running behind. Tammy, again, he forgives you so much that he has people make threats. Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. Comes with the territory. Laura Harlow says, but the charity status needs to be stripped. They have not managed their mission. And that is kind of the problem, right? Homer Renshaw, proof is behind records and orders. If he shows that, then he should be good. Well, the ERB that they were showing in the news article that, right here, this is evidence. No, what they were pointing at was the fact that he deployed. They were pointing at at the records that he had received. His DD-214 is what that ERB says, all the awards that's on there. I have his DD-214. There is no mention of a Purple Heart anywhere in that DD-214. Again, these are what we have. Rich Lamonica could get his ass. PDB, a fraud is a fraud. Martha says there was a group of us who tried to call him out during his participation in the Paralympics. Definitely a place he didn't deserve to be. Now, remember, Martha, the whole idea of the Paralympics, the fact that of his, he met the criteria to join the Paralympics because he was, I guess he's got a problem with his leg. His participation in the Paralympics had nothing to do with his military service. So one thing doesn't really have to do with the other, but I understand what you're getting at. Erica Thompson says, Cassie is his wife. Lord have mercy. That's a lot of wife. Tammy says, why are they going to Rob to deal with you? That is a wonderful question because they don't have the testicular fortitude to bring it here, with the exception of a couple of trolls online. Tammy says, you didn't work for Rob then and you don't now, and I never will work for Rob or anyone else for that matter. This is the Philip D. Blackman Show, no one else's. Homer Renshaw says that he thinks he can shut you up with some written template, I'm sure probably pulled from the internet. I'm guessing because it looked like it was written by a 5-year-old. Martha Altman says, fair enough, but he also exploited his fake Purple Heart during it. Well, again, a lot of people have called him out on that. A lot of people have. That has been the popular narrative for a lot of people. Look, his story doesn't really seem to mesh up. So what I want to do as a refresher, in his words, I want how it happened again. I want him to tell you the story. His injury in 2003 or 2005 or sometime in between, because there's no two news stories that match with his alleged telling of the story. This first segment is 2 minutes long.
Okay. I blacked out for a few seconds. When I blacked out for a few seconds, my left leg or my right leg, whichever one, I don't remember. But it was hitting on the brake because that is the reason why Sergeant Newman was telling me, go, go, IED, IED, because I thought that I had, I stopped because I thought I had blew a tire. After the accident happened, I distinctly remember them sitting there and basically telling me to suck it up. I went to the sick call. I went to talk Smith. Doc Smith was working on somebody else because we just got hit. He was working on somebody and he couldn't see me. We were Redcon 1. I was hearing my name. I'm like, okay, never mind. I just got Motrin. And then coming from sick call, Sergeant Ibe and Sergeant Davis yelling at me, you didn't get hit by no blah, 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 blah. And I asked Sergeant Newman if I could go to sick call. He's my squad. He was my platoon sergeant. He was the one that I asked. I didn't know anything about TBI. Nobody knew anything about TBI. All I knew is that I saw stars and I'm looking around. I had no clue where the fuck I was. And I followed directions. And I looked at Sarge and I'm like, I don't feel so good. And I'm like, I think I got hit. I got a metal like scratch thing. It's like a cat scratch. It's bleeding, but it's not really gushing or whatever. So it's not meant for a Purple Heart. Okay.
Okay, so there it is, ladies and gentlemen. That's part one of him telling his story about his injury. You look not a. Again, those are his words that I just wanted to show you, you know, for his narrative as he lays it out as the best he can. Man, it is very interesting. Tammy says that he renames an awful lot after he blacked out, and we'll get to that point here shortly. But again, look, we're not questioning the validity of his injuries. I'm not a medical health professional, but what I'm questioning is the narrative of the story. Tammy writes here that his speech is great right here. A big difference from what we just saw in those news stories. Just my opinion. I think his whole persona was carefully constructed act. Erica Thomas Thompson says, wow, he is totally, I'm assuming you mean contradicting himself. You got auto-corrected, and that's okay. So, but to Tammy's point right here, it says his speech is great right here. A big difference from what we saw in these news stories, just my opinion. I think his whole persona is carefully constructed act. You know, maybe I didn't catch that. Maybe. Hang on. So we saw that, and let's...
The metal means something to me, but it means more to me helping veterans so they don't struggle like I had to.
There is a hell of a difference in that video and the other one.
But I don't know anything, right? So I want to get you with this second point here. It's a minute six in this nice little video, finishing up with Joel telling his story on his injury in Iraq.
Now, I haven't been able to remember anything. Everybody knows that. Since about 2011. And since I, with my help of my wife, and me and her, we went through the email. So what happened was in 2003, I was hit by an IED, a explosive device. It was hit on the soft skin Humvee. And when I was in the soft skin Humvee, I was driving. When we hit something, it sounded like it was a flat tire, but I didn't remember because I blacked out for a few seconds. Kind of like when you go, kind of like that.
Kind of like... Like that? Is that what it means to black out? Because I never recall doing that to black out. But hey, it is part of the story. It's part of the narrative. Look, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to lean either way with this. These are his words that in 2003, he was hit with an IED. But by all other accounts, I do believe that the argument is 2005. So again, who's to know? You know, and I guess we're a bunch of jerks for asking this question. I don't know, but maybe I'm not a doctor, and I'm not making any claims about Joel or his service specifically, because he did serve and he did deploy. As a matter of self-responsibility and self-accountability, I find it necessary to cover this update because the matter has changed. Someone has come out and said, we screwed up. That's the only matter. The FHC, the Forgotten Heroes campaign, they took ownership for their part, right on. But the question is still there. How in the world have they kept their 501c3 status? How in the world has the Forgotten Heroes campaign, how are they allowed to hand out fake medals? How in the world are they still allowed to keep their doors open? That's a question for the Colorado Attorney General. But you know what? They're not really interested in holding anyone accountable because Joel is now a public figure who's drawn a lot of interest with this story. You know, where we go from here remains to be seen. You know, I don't want this segment to be construed as a retraction. No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I'm doubling down on the known facts of the issue that the Forgotten Heroes knew it was a fake medal, was BS. And Joel knew the fake medal was BS based off his own words. But it appears that he's wrapped his entire identity around a medal that, as of today, he still has not been awarded a medal for injuries that hasn't been proven to have taken place yet. Yeah, I've had several news outlets reach out to me to see what evidence I had to support my claim since they covered this bogus story for so many years. But putting the Purple Heart aside, you know, we can never expect Joel to really come off the true fact that he lied about his service by claiming he was an EOD tech. Yeah, I've done the legwork, and I'm happy to share whatever I have with anyone who asks, but not the great victim. You know, I've given him multiple opportunities to present his truth, but as I've covered my last show, it's never his fault. You know, perhaps Joel and his carnival of clowns, Mike Pearson, maybe you could learn a thing about self-accountability and self-responsibility, because so far, it has been as absent as his manhood, and that is the breakdown. Tammy says in the chat, she says that, I don't understand how Joel thinks their admission of guilt vindicates him. He still has no medal today. And that's kind of the point. But see, again, going back to those news stories, all those news stories did was say that they screwed up. They shouldn't have given him a Purple Heart. But at the same time, there's a other part of it, that there is an adulthood. There's a manhood element that should have been said, wait a minute. So I've got this under false pretenses. So, you know, fortune is in the follow-up. Hey, did you get is my packet squared away? No, absolutely. That never happened by his admission. And that's kind of the rub. His admission was never provided that he ever tried to track it down. It was somebody else's fault. And that is the problem with self-accountability and self-responsibility with this story. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna take my last break, and I'm gonna get back to one final thing. Guys, stick around 9 minutes.
We need to talk about your balls. Are they smooth or covered in bits of annoying fluff? These are my balls. See how they glisten in the light? Your balls can be like these, but you gotta use the right tools for the job. This? No. This? No. This. Only if that's what you're into. Balls are delicate, sensitive, easy to damage.
Someone's taking a chunk out of that one.
That's why I use the Lawnmower 4.0. It's got skin-safe technology with a replaceable ceramic blade.
So you can trim.
With confidence. It's got an LED light, so you can always see what you're doing. Lights, please! And what's more, it's got a wireless charging system and it's waterproof. You can even drop it in your pint. You wouldn't want to drink it, though. It's got pubes in it. The Manscaped Lawnmower is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. That's over 4 million balls. Isn't it time you join them and use the right tools for the job? Because when it comes to balls, you don't want to muck about.
Go to manscaped.com and check out the all-new Lawnmower 4.0 and receive free shipping.
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
When conventional wisdom said no one could make a hot dog longer than 6 inches, you dared to dream.
Dared to dream.
You knew the limitations of a regular-sized hot dog bun, and you ignored them.
Can't stop me now.
You made a 10-inch wiener, and people cheered.
Oh.
But you weren't satisfied. You said, wait, I think I can still give you 2 more inches.
Gotta want it.
So this bud's for you, Mr. Hot Dog Hero, because you gave every single one of us our fondest wish, a bigger wiener.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, so apparently commercials wasn't playing. Y'all were just staring at me, so it is what it is. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, one final thing. You know, look, accountability means that you're responsible for your choices and your actions, and that you may be called on to report and explain those to another person. You know, it's these two aspects that lie in the heart of a person who wants to change and who wants to grow. Obviously, we're not seeing that yet. Exercising personal accountability, it enables your accountability partners, the people in your circle, to influence you to even greater success. Hey, this ain't completely true. Maybe you should fix it. Who knows? You know, self-accountability or personal accountability, it means that you're responsible for your choices and your actions and lack thereof. You're not only responsible for your successes, you're also responsible for your failures. The sooner you learn that, the better off all of us will be. You know, we're the first and last line of defense for our integrity. Self-discipline is our primary method for improving our lives, pursuing good things because we desire them. You know, you've set your course and you're committed to success, and we should be. But as an accountable person seeking to change, you got to start with you, since only you can change YOU. You know, when you desire to see a change in your life, you know, you don't wait for other people to change, but you first consider what you must change about yourself. Take inventory, take stock of who you are. Examine your thinking. See how your thoughts are going to hold you back from moving forward, because we are. I mean, you cringe when you hear people, when you hear yourself blaming other people, when you should really start to find fault in what you've done yourself. When faced with a decision, you don't need to let others tell you what to do. You know what's right, and you know what you ought to do, and you should do it. Holding yourself accountable, it means that you got to stay away from viewing yourself as a professional victim of circumstance. You have a sense of ownership for yourself and the consequences of your actions. You don't let other people, you know, do what you must do yourself. You got to commit daily to your work and accomplish your goals. I mean, you can grow in personal accountability, and I think it's time that we start to see some of it, right? I mean, set your mind to it and find the encouragement to change your life for the better, because it is found just on the other side of truth. So as I wrap up the show, I want to hit these comments. Tammy says, I don't understand the bullying either. You don't call, text, or email anything else. You've done 2 shows, and that's the extent of your interaction. Big baby, absolutely he is. Laura says that this has been an upsetting to see happen. Yes. She asked, are there any military supporting radio stations out there that we can support? Not yet. Not that I'm aware of. I know there's some out there, but none that's been reputable that was what MBR was supposed to be. She goes on to ask that they aren't based in Colorado. Don't seem like we can trust much in Colorado. I mean, man, it's a very liberal state, and it's amazing how there's a lot of people still coming to the defense, even in the face of proof. And I want to leave you with this thought. It is easier to fool people than it is to convince them they've been fooled. You know, a lot of people are holding true and holding fast because they don't want to let go of the possibility that they got taken for a ride. A lot of people have, and a lot of people are upset, and justifiably so. But at the end of the day, all the responsibility belongs to you. Everything that I've provided in this show and in episode 275, and these will be the last 2 shows unless something else major happens, but it won't happen on a regular show day. It'll be Tuesday, Thursday, or the weekend, because I'm done dedicating any time, any airtime to Joel Hunt. I heard a quote one time that said that a person's tongue gives you the taste of their heart. Well, we know the taste of his heart, because it certainly seems very bass-ackwards than what most other veterans do. Instead of letting someone else take the blame, you should also step up and be like, hey, you know what? I should have followed up, but I didn't. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think the more you deny and the more you dig your heels in, the greater travesty it comes. Because, again, we have people that are, how dare you pick on a veteran with brain damage? Well, look, I didn't know you was a medical professional either. We're not making fun of we don't make fun of people who can't defend themselves in this case here. I mean, it's the tale of two Joels. I'll leave it up for you to decide which way it is and which way is right. Again, ladies and gentlemen, my whole goal in all this is just to present the known facts that are present and let you make up your decision. Everything that I say on my show is mine and mine alone. And look, I'm always willing and I'm always ready. 409-245-9753. The number's been up this whole time. The chats have been up this whole time. And I've not seen a single supporter. Although I know you're watching Joel. I know you're watching Mike. And that's fine. But it takes a certain degree of testicular fortitude to answer your critics. And so far, that's in short supply. So, ladies and gentlemen, that does it for me. Thank you so much for tuning into this show. It seeks not to provide that middle ground analysis, but we try to make consistent that inconvenient truth that so many people refuse to see. It's easier to convince people. It's easier to fool people than it is to convince them they've been fooled. You know, this show is a supporter of free speech. We're a supporter of free thinking. And we're a dedicated enemy to hypocrites, liars, promoters of mob justice, racism, and bigotry. So until next time, friends, thank you so much for your service and your patriotism to this country. Without our men and women in uniform, our veteran community, and our great Americans like yourself, our country would be a very different place. We are the only ones who stand between freedom and chaos. So as always, friends, don't let your dog tags dangle in the dirt. Stay on your feet and continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. If you love your freedom, you thank a veteran. If you love a police officer, if you love your peace, thank a police officer. And if you see a first responder, give them a high five and handshake and tell them job well done. Laura Harlow in this chat, she says, damn shame what they did. Absolutely. Good show, Phil. Thank you for following up on this. I've been wondering, and the whole reason we're following up on it is because we owe it to the case itself to present new developments. And really, it's not a new development, but it's new media that deserved scrutiny. So ladies and gentlemen, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 5 o'clock p.m. Central Time right here. My name is Philip Blackman. Y'all have a blessed and wonderful Monday. I'll catch you on the other side.